Yo, I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want. So tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I wanna really, really, really wanna zig a zig.
You wanted it, you got it. Lindsay, Craig, Ashley, and a cast of thousands, it's time to spill the beans. Now don't go wasting.
Good morning, Northfield, and everybody else that's listening on the streaming devices. My name is Lindsay, and you are back for your second cup of a caffeinated beverage this month on Spill the Beans. I'm here with my besties, Mox and Ashley. Hi, you guys.
Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Good. I'm really, really happy to be sitting in a room with coffee and adults.
Right.
Because it's spring break.
Oh, you've been around kids.
I've been home with kids. Yeah. So I'm super happy to be here.
Oh, good. How are you, Ash?
I'm good. I'm really tired.
Why are you tired?
Max, I was telling Max earlier, I stayed up too late reading a book last night until like 4 a.m. I haven't done that for like years.
I can't wait to talk about that. Yes. Max, how are you?
Oh, it's morning and I have pants on. We're good to go.
Oh, awesome. Okay, well, for those of you who are just kind of tuning in for the second time, I'm Lindsay. I'm one of the hosts, Northfield
personality
debutante. Most people know me now from here, KYMN, and owning the Grand Event Center.
Yes.
All right.
And I'm Mox, or you can probably know me as Mrs. Moxie. Laura. I actually got to tell you this. Someone told me what they classified me as. They're like, you're the village drag queen. The village. Like, are we in the medieval 1900s?
We are now.
I love it.
I thought it was, I'm the village drag queen. I thought that was hilarious. But yes, you know me as Mox, Mrs. Moxie, or you probably know me from Queenie Salon Studio here in town on Division. And we have Ashley.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. I'm Ashley. I'm the general manager at Goodbye Blue Monday Coffee House in Northfield, supplier of the coffee for our caffeinated chats this morning.
Yes. What are you drinking today, Ash?
Extra large iced coffee with caramel and a little bit of cream. It's like double brewed, so it's like extra strength.
Ooh, yeah. With 4 today. Shots of espresso.
Oh, problems. Absolutely not. That would send me into cardiac arrest, Max.
Right.
When I have these headphones on and you talk really softly like that about coffee, it's like that ASMR kind of, you know?
Ooh. Spill the beans.
Did I just start clicking my nails?
ASMR.
What are you drinking, Max?
It's the steam coming out of the espresso. Okay, anyways, what are you drinking, Linz?
I think I'm drinking a caramel latte.
Yes,
with cold foam.
Yes.
If it was the same thing as last week or 2 weeks ago.
And now this is like my own creation, right? If I remember right. So it's a peppermint and caramel, what did we call it?
I mean, officially, it's the Monday Blues with peppermint. It's one of our signature drinks with peppermint. It's a mocha caramel peppermint latte.
Yes.
Ice.
All the good sweets. Lots of whipped cream and chocolate and caramel
like
drizzle.
A fitness coffee.
Don't judge me.
I have
exercise is dangerous.
we'll get to that later.
All right. Well, Lindsay, why don't you tell us about what we're doing here today and what are we going to be talking about? And also, let's just catch up. You were talking about reading, Ashley, and everything. Mm-hmm. What is anybody else reading here or watching shows? What are we doing? Like, what's our spare time like?
Yeah, I sometimes get in reading slumps, and that's really unfortunate because I love reading. But I am reading a book currently, and with my spouse, I'm actually watching a series called Dimension 20. It's a D&D podcast, cool. But it's like a live TV thing, and it's really funny, and my spouse and I are watching that.
What is it on?
It's on Dropout TV, which is like formerly College Humor, if you've ever heard of them on YouTube.
Yes, I have.
No, the YouTube. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah, yes. So they made their own like streaming service called Dropout TV. So it's on that.
What were you reading until 4 o'clock in the morning?
It's a contemporary romance that I don't know if I feel comfortable talking about on public radio.
Does it have a title that is appropriate to share?
It's called Deep End.
Okay.
Okay.
Perfect.
But it's a romance novel nonetheless.
Hey, that's okay.
You know what? I'm I am okay talking about it. I love a good romance story.
I am not into the romance, but I loved listening to people talk about things that they're super into, so I would be down to discuss it in a more appropriate fashion off the air. Yeah.
Maybe instead of coffee, we switch to martinis. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Brunch?
The two, you're right. The, you drink, we'll drive. Okay, so what's going on in everybody's world? Let's talk about what's our highlights today. So our highlights today, Lindsay, is what?
We are going to be focusing on women of pop culture because March is National Women's Month.
Oh, very nice. I love that. You know, and there's so many things, like we're talking about reading, we're talking about entertainment, we're talking about media, everything. So I think looking at all of our list of who we chose and who we want to discuss, there's a wide range of this. Like a wide range of women.
We're kind of all over the place, which is great.
Kind of all over the place, but at the same time, there are some on this list that I don't even know. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of intrigued to like dive into this. Okay, so
Max, you didn't answer our question of the morning, though. Like, what are you watching? What are you reading?
Sorry. And Lindsay didn't either.
Yeah, Lindsay didn't either.
I'm like a super.
Well, she's also a mom, and she's been watching Disney, probably.
Oh, sure, sure.
Oh, no, I've been diving headfirst into some stuff over have here.
You? Okay, so my new guilty pleasure, I have two. Obviously, I love White Lotus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I love White Lotus. This season is snail's pace. It is the slowest season. I'm, like, giving up on it kind of in a way.
Oh, there's probably going to be a huge payoff, though. HBO does that really well.
They do. And this last one was kind of like a, oh, got it. Yep, that was a banger. So I'm intrigued to see what the last two episodes are. The other one that I'm into is because of Ryan, my husband. He got me into it, and a few other people have told me about it. It's Righteous Gemstones. Have you ever heard of it?
Yes. I think it shows up on my home screen. Yeah. Like, hey, maybe you should watch this.
So Righteous Gemstones is with John Goodman. If you don't know John Goodman.
Sold. Already. Yeah.
Literally that. And I think you would love it because it, like, is this... I mean, it's... Obviously, it's fiction, but it's very much like, oh, that could totally be real kind of moments, because it's basically talking about like the Joel Osteens and like the big mega churches out in our world, Scientology, etc. Mm-hmm. And they're basically exploiting them, like how they're money laundering and everything like that, and like all the drama that happens within it. So very hooked, line, and sinker with that one. And okay. You talked about staying up till 4 a.m. Mm. I was up till 1 a.m. Watching this show. And Ryan's like, how many episodes did you watch? I'm like, I watched 6 last night. It's fine.
Just play catch up. It's just, fine.
Literally, he's on like season 3 or 4 and I'm like at just finishing season 1. So I'm like trying to like hurry. But yeah, that's what I've been watching. And you?
Okay, so I walked in this morning and the first question I asked the two of you was, have you read the new Hunger Games book? I have not shut up about it. It's freaking amazing. If you're a Hunger Games nerd at all, or like dystopian anything, the entire series is amazing, I think. I obviously read the first 3 when I was significantly younger, like 15 years ago. I read The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes last fall, maybe 2 falls ago. And this one I think is the best one because it ages, I think, with the reader. So the books initially were kind of geared a little bit more at a younger audience. And this one is definitely, this is way more Game of Thrones than Twilight, okay, is how I would compare that.
And which book is that? That's Songbird? Or
this one is Sunrise on the Reaping, and it tells... Okay. Woody Harrelson's character, Haymitch, yes, Haymitch, his story.
Because they did the other one where it was from Snow's perspective as a child or like teen.
Yeah, that was the 10th Hunger Games. I could go into the whole...
Wait, that's a 10th?
That was the 10th. This one is the 20th. This is the 50th. I'm thinking like
10th book. No, you're talking about
the
actual...
Yep, yep, the 10th Hunger Games. But either way, it's super duper good. It fills in tons of blanks. A lot of people might think like, oh, I already know how this ends, so there's not really anything that it can do for me. You're wrong. It
Well, especially with watching Woody Harrelson's acting in that movie, you can tell he's been through some stuff.
Oh my God, and it changes. Like, I want to go back and reread the books now because it will change so much of how I interpret the original. Yeah. But I have like a million other books that I have to read.
Mm-hmm. We were just talking about that. I have like 10 in my queue.
And I'm now doing James, which won the National Book Award and the Pulitzer, and I think like every possible literary award that could be given out. And by the first paragraph in the second chapter, I could immediately see why. That book's, it's amazing. It's brilliant.
And it's called James?
It's a telling of like the Huck Finn story.
Oh, okay.
Through the eyes of Jim, the slave that he runs away with.
Oh.
It's incredible already.
Oh, it sounds fascinating. Very cool.
I'll have to stop by content after this and pick it up.
Shout out to content.
Yeah, that's where I was like at content at 10:01 a.m. on Tuesday to pick up the Hunger Games book. I'm like, good morning. I'm just here.
I need this. Thank you. Before we dive deep into our women that we're going to be discussing, I have to shout out because guess who just texted me? Pitbull Liz. Pitbull Liz is just like texting me. She's just like, Righteous Gemstones, White Lotus, we need to have coffee and talk. Hi, Liz. So we wanted to shout out to Liz.
It makes me happy, we have listeners.
Yes, we do. So if you don't know Liz, she is a server and a dear friend of Lindsay and ours here on Spill the Beans from the Grand. And
she's basically like the GM of the Grand.
Exactly. She's Secret Service of the Grand.
She does all the things.
Yes. As she's texting me right now. It's fine. So shout out to Liz. But, you know, let's talk about these women that we want to highlight.
All right.
They range from actors to hosts to politics to
characters.
Characters.
Musicians.
Musicians and even movie directors. So, yeah, it's, we'll dive right in. So my first pick, just because I'm nostalgia and I'm from, you know, that generation of the early 2000s, like everything, I could not put Kelly Clarkson on this list because I love Kelly. Literally that. Which she has been gone. She's been absent from her TV show for like 10 episodes. Do you follow Kelly?
Okay, so I watched American Idol like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And that is about where my... 2002? Yeah.
Not longer to age you or any of that.
Yeah. And that is where my Kelly Clarkson knowledge ends.
That's...
She seems like a very nice friend.
Ashley.
But that's
what I talk to Ashley.
I mean, I also don't know a whole heck of a lot.
But you know her song.
Yeah, oh yeah, I know her song. But that's why we have Mox here to tell us about Kelly Clarkson.
So why did you pick Kelly Clarkson? Tell me all about why she fits into your view of the National Women's Month.
Number one, Kelly Clarkson, she won the first ever season of American Idol. I think if you were living under a rock, you probably wouldn't know it. But if you lived on planet Earth, you know that she was the first winner. Like, it's very prominent. I also love her advocacy for the LGBTQIA plus community with their rights. She just did a whole week-long special where she featured trans activists and trans people on her television show. She does so much advocacy in that sense. And what comes first for her is being a mom. Like, she's very much about her kids. She went through a horrible divorce with her ex-husband who kind of took advantage of her, to be honest. And, you know, the other thing, because we all know Mrs. Moxie loves Reba McEntire, Kelly Clarkson's mother-in-law is Reba McEntire. Was, I should say, before the divorce. Mm-hmm. But they are still friends and they still get along. So it's like, you have this woman who not only was a singer, but then became actress, producer, writer, TV show host. Like, she continues to evolve and change and really try to make a difference in our society as far as like shedding light on things. Like, I watch her TV show. I watch the clips. I don't watch it from start to finish, but she has some genuine connections with these celebrities and really tapping into that. And I think that is one of the really cool things to see celebrities do is have that authenticity connection with their guest. Sometimes when I watch like these TV show hosts where it's very like, bump, 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 and done. Like, that's it. I'm like, I want to feel your soul. I want to feel that. And some people have told me, oh, she's annoying. She's a lot. Her laugh is ugly. Like, you know, and I'm just like,
I'm super over that insult.
People love to say that about like women. Like, why?
Literally that. If a woman is successful,
yep.
then she's, frankly, they call her the B word. Like,
right.
if they're successful, they have something to say. But if a man does it and he's successful, oh, he's smart. He's calculated. Right. He's a genius.
He worked hard for what he got.
Yeah. Oh, no, he was handed it to it. So that's why I chose Kelly, because she's not been nothing but a hustle. Like, she was a waitress, for crying out loud. Like, she worked in the service.
Yeah.
And, like, she worked hard for what she did. Doesn't mean that she might have frivolous spending or things like that. Sure, who doesn't? I mean, we all spend things on some dumb stuff. But, you know, her bottom line was take care of the kids, be there for her kids, create an environment of loving and caring and accepting. And she continues to do that with her show and everything. And, you know, with her Trans Awareness Week, she actually had a producer who transitioned at age 63 and discussed the importance of it and what support and authenticity was. I haven't seen that on television, really. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't see these stories. And for her to stick her neck out and say, you know, I'm going to be an advocate, and she commits to it, she committed. And that, to me, is someone who really stands for humanity.
Yeah.
So.
Especially when, like, you know that in today's times, like, the ratings, the potential of getting canceled because somebody doesn't agree with that stance.
Yes.
Like, that's a risk, and she's taking it. That's awesome.
She is. So that was my first woman that I chose, and I respect her, and I love her, and keep making that music, honey.
Yeah. She was also, pretty vulnerable in her music too about like her family life growing
her
up.
Her dad.
I don't know. Like, I know music is an outlet for that, but it was. I mean, her songs about that are beautifully devastating. And I think there were a lot of people that could also relate to them.
The one that cracks me up, the one that I love, and I think we all know, is "Breakaway" from Princess Diaries. Yep, yep. You know what I'm talking? You don't.
I totally do.
You do? Okay. You're sitting there really quiet.
Well, because I know that song, but I haven't watched The Princess Diaries.
Wait, ever?
Ever.
I'm kind of like...
You guys, I'm about to highlight like 80s action movies.
True. Anyways, what I was going to say is that song, Breakaway, was not actually written by her, but she did it so well.
Yeah.
Guess who it was written by?
Reba McEntire.
No.
Good guess.
Avril Lavigne.
Ah, slay! Oh.
Avril Lavigne wrote that.
She used to date the lead singer of Nickelback.
She sure did.
Yep. Well, wasn't she married to him?
Probably.
I think so.
I think she was married to him. Anyways.
I really like Nickelback, so there's my
another 2000s
okay, that's
queen.
A judgment statement. Nickelback.
You haven't seen The Princess Diaries?
I have a shirt that says Nickelback fan or liar. Everybody likes Nickelback. Everybody.
Yeah. They do have catchy songs.
They do. Photograph. All right. Anyways, Ash, I think you're up next. Who are we talking about?
What's your first
pick? Yeah. So my first pick, piggybacking on the musical artists, my favorite female rap artist, Meg Thee Stallion. She became big, I would say, like within the last like few years. I think what I love about her is that she is just so unapologetically her, and believe it or not, she gets a lot of hate for that, because she's just very comfortable with her body, and she does that on stage, and like she just owns it.
And she kind of segued into acting a little bit too now.
Yeah.
Recently.
Yes. It wasn't Euphoria.
No, the one that I know her in was, I don't know if I'm supposed to say this on radio, but it's the actual title of the movie. Disclaimer, it's called Dix the Musical.
Oh.
With Megan Mullally and Nathan Lane.
Oh, no.
So it's about a queer siblings. They're twins, and they get separated at birth. It's like The Parent Trap, but modern, and it's done with music. Anyways, she plays a character in it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and she does, like, music with, like, other artists, like Renee Rapp, and her song that was on the new Mean Girls movie,
the musical.
Yeah.
Mean Girls the musical.
Yes, yeah. And that song just, like, blew up, and I think there were, like, she does music where it's, like, She dabbles in other genres too, which I will talk about later with my second pick. but yeah, like in interviews and stuff, she just is so her. She talks about how much she loves anime. Like everybody who likes Meg Thee Stallion just like knows that she is like a huge anime nerd, and like that's the thing, is she like nerds out about it. Mm-hmm. And then she's just this like slay queen who's like, I'm gonna do what I want, I'm gonna show a little skin on stage because like
she's
I can do
beautiful.
That she is so beautiful,
so beautiful. And, and I'm not super familiar with her, but
yeah,
her voice is stunning.
Yes. And I don't know, her story was just really inspiring to me about how she recently went back to school to get a degree in health administration. I believe because her mom or her grandma was a teacher, and she wanted to like get her degree too, and so she went to the University of Houston and got like a master's degree in health administration. And I don't know, I just like, I love seeing artists just like live who they are, like unapologetically, and just like doing things for them and not trying to appease, you know.
It kind of goes back to me and you've had this conversation about Chapel Roan.
Yes. Speaking of my third pick.
Is it your third? Oh, sorry.
No, that's okay. It all comes
full
circle.
Sorry, it wasn't on my page, so that's why. We'll talk about her later. But same thing, authenticity.
Yes, yes. And I just really respect that out of women musical artists, but just women in general, because like we were saying earlier, it's so easy for people to just be like, they're too loud, they're too much.
Hair is ugly. Yeah. This is that. It's all judgment.
I've been told I've been too much before too, and it's just like,
you're not too much.
Thanks.
It goes you're all not. The way back to that, like the speech from the Barbie movie that like so succinctly puts it, like you have to be pretty but not too pretty. You have to be successful but not too successful. Yes. You have to be a dedicated mom but also have a career.
Right. Right. And it's like, I don't know, it just feels like
you're going to get criticized no matter what.
Yeah, no matter what. So live your life. And I feel like Meg Thee Stallion does that really well. So, Lindsay, what's your first pick?
So my first pick, I kind of double dipped, but they're both James Cameron movies, so I kind of put them together. I picked the characters Ellen Ripley of the Alien movies and Sarah Connor. Mostly, I'm talking about Terminator 2. both characters were, well, the character of Ellen Ripley was initially written as a man. It was then switched to be a woman. The first Alien movie is very much like a final girl horror movie. The second Alien is where you really get to see, so Aliens, plural, is where you get to see the woman who is being told she's crazy. That didn't happen. She's being gaslit for the first part of the movie. She's going through, she's telling the entire story about what happened on the first ship, and everybody's like, that didn't happen, that's not real. Lo and behold, it was. She was not crazy. She also then filled like the mother role to the character of Newt, and stood up to the men who are destroying everything, represented by Burke. She's never running around in high heels. She's never putting on like a cute little skirt, right? Like she's learning how to use like fancy pants, high tech equipment. Yes, Moxie.
I am literally standing here or sitting here raising my hand because the whole thing where these film directors put women in high heels and say, now run from the murderer. Like,
run from the crazy aliens in space.
Can we talk about Bryce Dallas Howard from
That's what I was thinking.
Like, literally.
They stay on her feet when she jumps into off of a waterfall. Her high heels stay on her
feet.
She's
out running a T-Rex in high heels.
And I have a hard time with I love Jurassic Park. And
girl,
all
we all
things.
Know you love dinos.
And so I am all about the entire franchise. However,
are you excited about the reboot that's coming?
Of course I am. Okay. If it's a dinosaur Jurassic Park movie, I'm going and I'm going to be excited. I'm probably going to complain about it if I don't like it, but I'm still going to watch it like all the time when I go to bed.
Okay.
I still watch all of the Bryce Dallas Howard trilogy.
Yep.
But you had your Ellie character from the first one who is smart. She's a paleo, like a paleobotanist, and she's right. Like, one of her lines from Jurassic Park is even like, "We can talk about feminism and survival situations later," right? So she's amazing, and then we like kind of get into this character who's this. I'm such a career woman. I'm really happy that we like got into this.
Yes.
because the only way to be a real feminist is to reject maternal instincts and to be the B word, since we're on air.
I know, it's so right? Hard like, for me to edit myself right
like
now.
You don't have to be that.
No.
It's not the antithesis of all things feminine to be a feminist. But that's what they accidentally or intentionally or poorly, poor writing, like that's what they did with the Bryce Dallas Howard character. Which I
will say later on, like the third movie is when it kind of finally switched, because you got to see that, yes, I'm still tough. Yes, I'm this. But she also had that motherly instinct of like nurturing for the child they adopted. Like, I think it switched a little bit, but still they had that underlying tone of,
yeah,
she needs to be this.
And that's like, busy businesswoman carries her cell phone and is constantly talking on it. And
again, and she's categorized as the B word.
Right.
And it's like, no, she's successful. She worked hard for this. Like,
but I think that they turned her into a trope rather than making her like a fully realized, fleshed out, complicated, three-dimensional character. Yes. Which I think Sarah Connor of Terminator 2 is.
So I've never seen any of the Terminator.
Oh, man. Okay, so here's the deal. I'm watching the clock, and I'm like, I could talk about this for the next four hours, and Rich is going to come in here and be like, Lindsay, cut it. Terminator 2 is
I know the movie. I know the character. I know all that. I just have never watched it.
You should watch it, because it's one of the best movies of all time. Especially, I think it's a perfect movie. And given all of the AI stuff that we're up against right now or facing, I think about this movie a lot. Sarah Connor, to keep it topical for today, again, she's crazy. It never happened. They covered up everything that, so it's just like a metaphor for a lot of women's experience right now is, hey, all of these things that you're worried about, that will never happen. That never did happen. Lo and behold, it did. And then she goes through that entire movie. One, shout out to James Cameron in a way, because like that movie is never ever filmed through the male gaze. There is never, she's never like bending over and fixing a car or like in high heels holding a gun, right? Like none of that. She is just like tough. She's smart. She's resourceful. She doesn't wear makeup throughout the entire movie. She stays maternal her entire, there's no love interest in the second one. The first one there is, but it's like a necessity to the entire timeline of events. Yeah, she's like, she doesn't wear makeup. She is essentially embracing violence in order to save humanity, while the male characters and her son are rejecting violence, and he's like instructing the AI and the Terminator not to kill anybody. She's like, I will do whatever it takes to protect my son because he's going to then protect humanity. But the entire time, she's like both, right? She's super tough. She's super smart. She's had the entire world working against her. She's looking out for her child, and she's trying to save the world.
In the words of Ashley, slay.
Slay.
And then if you look really deeply into the movies, if you were to reverse view Aliens and you were to look at the humans as the colonizers and like the raw material capitalism, like monsters that they are in those movies, the hero of the opposite side of the story would be the queen alien, right? She's the one that's in charge of all of the little eggs and monsters that are the xenomorphs to come out and take out the humans that are basically like colonizing their planet. Whoops, I'm talking with my hands and mocking my microphone. Also a strong female character. Okay, Very true. Those are my picks. I love those movies.
I'll give it to you this. I will go and watch those. They're not my favorite.
You haven't seen the Alien movies?
I think I've seen like half of one.
Oh, they're good.
We can watch them on the big screen at the Grand.
Ooh, there you go.
I think here's, like, I love Sigourney Weaver. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. Love Sigourney Weaver. I never connected with that realm. Like, I don't mind sci-fi. I like it in certain aspects. Like, Star Wars, dabbled in it. My husband, huge Trekkie. Like, there's little things like that. But, like, if I'm going to go sci-fi, like, I want it to be, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Do you remember the TV show Farscape?
No.
It was a knockoff version of Star Trek, basically. Way, way, way low budget. Or, like, Firefly.
Yep. Okay. I do know Firefly.
Kind of like that realm. Okay. Like, I watched a little bit about that, but that's about it. Or my other favorite, Bruce Willis and Fifth Element. Like,
I love the Fifth Element.
So, like, the Fifth Element, that's my type of sci-fi. Like, aliens attacking kind of BS. Yeah. Like, sure. Not my...
Not the real world. Like, this is a metaphor.
Yeah. So anyways, that's where I'm at, but I will give it to you. I will go and try and watch these.
If there's ever a day that you two can't be here and I have to host this show by myself, everybody better believe it's just going to be an hour analysis of Terminator 2.
As it should be.
There you go. Love that movie.
Stay tuned for that episode.
Okay.
So Moxie. For my second pick, I'm going a little bit farther out and I'm going to like
left turn.
Yep.
Literally.
We're going to kind of go a little bit political. So I chose Jasmine Crockett. Does everybody know who she is?
Yep.
Okay. She...
Our listeners may not, though.
You may not, but...
So you might want to share who is Jasmine Crockett.
I'll share. So if you have... I think everyone's heard some of her quotes. She is the Democrat rep from Texas. She is the 30th congressional district, and has been in that position since 2023.
She covers Dallas area.
Yeah, kind of area. She is wonderfully beautiful. Like, she is stunningly beautiful. But she's also very outspoken, and I love that about her.
And she's whip smart.
Whip smart. So she, and honestly, okay, when you think of lawyers that are at that level, I always think, oh, they went to Harvard, or they went here, they went there. No, she went to University of Houston Law Center. Yeah. I was like, oh.
Another University of Houston grad.
So I thought that was kind of cool. But she's also very well known for her calling out Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Slay.
Do you know who Marjorie is?
I do.
And we don't need to dive into that.
I was like, we got to tread lightly on this one here because I could really.
So one of my favorite quotes is when she called MTG bleach blonde, bad built, butch body.
That is an alliteration.
And I just, when I heard that quote, I was just laughing because, you know, as much as like. Yes, it's probably not professional to say this in the setting that you're in, but at the same time...
We are
beyond that at this point. And I love how she stands up for equality. I love how she stands up for her people. She's not against guns. Like, she's like, I own a gun. I'm just saying, we need to regulate this stuff better because we have all these mass shootings. Like, well, she's trying to take care of the kids. Like, she's trying to take care of that next generation. And she's not tolerating this... good old boys club. Mm-hmm. Like, she's gonna try to throw a wrench in that spoke, you know? That was, I don't know why I just made that analogy. Wow.
That's okay.
Sorry. I'm like really blown away by that one.
She's kind of a mind-blowing person,
I think so too. And so before I wrote this down, or when I wrote this down, this hadn't happened, but I guess it was yesterday. Right? It was the Greg Abbott.
It's been in the last week.
It has been in the last week? Because, yeah, we kind of got this going a while ago. Mm-hmm. But she's kind of under fire because the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, is in a wheelchair. And she made a little comment calling him Mr. Hot Wheels. Well, in that sense, she has then come out publicly and said, that's not what I meant. It wasn't on his character. It wasn't on his physical appearance and everything. Mm-hmm. It was more so based on the fact that he is using planes, trains, and automobiles to do mass deportation. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we started talking about this with in the lobby here, we were talking about DEI and DEI with all the backpedaling that they're doing and trying to erase it. He wouldn't have a position.
Like, he wouldn't have accessibility in his house.
Correct.
If DEI didn't say we have to make that accessible for somebody in a wheelchair. Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, it's like, why are you fighting something that's actually you're benefiting from?
Because they don't see it that way.
They don't. Yeah,
it's been projected by the media as something that it's not.
Right. And I chose her because, you know, without women like her who are going to stand up for those underdogs and for the people that are, she's standing up for the POC community, the LGBT, like she's for that. She just did another interview where she was talking about how the government is targeting the trans community so hard and so horribly bad about it, because they're like, if you are threatened by a trans kid, what in your life has made you become that hateful? And, you know, to see a woman stand up and say that, like, it takes guts. It takes big cojones.
Well, it's the political landscape has just turned into, like, oh, man, I got to be careful. All right. So what I like to see is that it changed the way that discourse takes place, the way that we approach topics on either side. And now the left seems to be catching up to the right in terms of, fine, if all rules are off, all bets are off, then we're going to use your same rules against you. The things that I've seen people fly on their trucks and on their cars, the flags that say Joe and the blank have to go, and F your feelings, right? There's all kinds of that rhetoric coming from one side. So if the other side is going to say, fine, we're going to play by that set of rules. Is it stooping to their level? Sure, that's an argument.
But I agree with it?
But it just turns into a, like, what Jasmine Crockett and AOC are doing is they're speaking the language that seems to be getting through to the masses. So if that's, they're changing
example, AOC and Bernie are packing in these places at these rallies.
Fight the Oligarchy tour.
Like, holy crap. And I'm blown away. Anyways, we can go on and on about Jasmine. We could go on
She's
forever,
incredible. I received a message telling me that, from somebody telling me that they desperately hope that she is not the future of the party. And I spent a very long time crafting a paragraph response just saying, Jasmine Crockett and AOC are following in Bernie's footsteps. And I think they're the future of the progressive wing of the party. And I think people need to listen to them because that's the future.
I 100% agree. And, you know, to have those types of women, to give them a voice and a platform, is so needed right now. So needed. So
they had to work double as hard to get there on that platform.
Oh, 1,000%. AOC was a waitress.
Her shoes are in the Smithsonian. Are they? The shoes that she did to wore to canvas on her first run.
Okay.
Because she like wore right through the bottoms of them.
Good for her.
Yeah.
God, that's awesome. So that was my pick. Again, wonderful woman, very powerful. Gonna do amazing things. So
stay tuned for that one.
Yeah. All right. Ashley.
Yeah. A little bit of a turn. I'm keeping it still on musical artists. All three of the women I picked were our musical artists. Complete opposite of Meg Thee Stallion is Courtney LaPlante of Spirit Box. So Spirit Box is a heavy metal band. A current modern heavy metal band. And you honestly don't see a lot of women as leads in metal bands. That has predominantly been a white male-led music genre. And just recently, I would say in the last few years, and especially because of the success of like people going viral on TikTok and stuff, you're getting a lot more like women metal artists, which growing up, I love metal music. That's my favorite genre of music. And so being the age that I am now and finally seeing like women being like, I'm going to head these like really, really popular bands. And like, they do it in such a beautiful, graceful way. Like her on stage is like a powerhouse. Like she owns the stage. And she, like, writes all of her music. And, like, just her presence is just incredible. Like, just, she's just, like, a super cool person.
Have you seen her live?
I have not seen her live. I've seen a lot of videos of her live. And it's, like, she'll just, like, drop her booty to the ground. And you're, like, all right, girl, pop off. Like, yes. And it's, like, to metal music. Yeah, it's, like, to metal music. And, but then she also, they were nominated at the Grammys for Best Metal Artist. They didn't win, but they were a part of the nominations. And, like, I don't know. It's just, like, seeing metal artists, seeing women metal artists on the red carpet, like, at these events. And her just, like...
Oh, she's cute. Sorry, I'm Googling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's incredible. And it's just... It's really, really, really cool to see nowadays a lot more female...
representation.
In metal music. And just the way that they're taking back, like, that genre as their own and being, like, I can be, like, a part of this scene and, like, and I can do it in my own way and not a way that it has historically been.
Yeah. I love that. That's cool.
Yeah, they're not trying to, like, replace or fill into a role. They're creating one of their own. I like that.
They're creating their own niche in the... Very cool.
Yeah, I highly recommend checking them out. They have some songs, too, that are a little more ballady, so not as like, heavy metal, which is really cool to see such a contrast in their music, too, like that.
On the scale of heavy metal, are you talking, like, Evanescence or...
Oh,
beyond that, okay.
But there are some...
The reason why I ask is because I don't do heavy metal. Yeah. I'm the country girl, like... Like, that's just my vibe. So I don't do a lot of heavy metal, but, like, Evanescence, like...
Oh, Evanescence is so good.
Like, a bunch of that stuff. Yeah. Like, I can do that part, but, like, when we're talking heavy metal, you're talking about, like, heavy...
Yeah, they do both, which is super cool. I can recommend you some more of the
ballady stuff.
Yeah,
might be a good little transition. Yeah. Like, a little
segue into I'll recommend you some ballady stuff, and then we'll get into some heavy stuff later.
Okay, perfect. We'll get there.
Okay. In the interest of time, I'm going to go rogue, and I'm going to jump to my third pick and then backtrack to my second.
Because you really want to talk about your third?
Well, the second one we've kind of covered already a little bit before. So my third pick is Catherine Schweitzer.
Okay.
And so maybe not modern pop culture and maybe not even pop culture, but Catherine Schweitzer is the first woman who ever ran the Boston Marathon, and she ran it illegally in 1967. They like tried to chase her off the course. That was who, so running is a huge part of my life, like less than I want it to be because I never have time to do it. But,
and my response to that is, why are you running? Is somebody chasing you?
And former version of me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's who's chasing me. I love running. It is incredible for my mental health. Like, obviously it has its physical benefits, but it's like a super big thing for my mental health. I started running after kind of reading about Catherine Schweitzer, and that in the 60s and before, women weren't allowed to run professional marathons because they were told that their uterus would fall out. Their bodies were significantly too fragile to withstand that distance. So they weren't allowed to run. And so she was going to school in New York, and she...
I want to meet the guy who said that because I just training. Want to slap him.
I bet there were...
And yeah, I was going to say multiple guys.
But
and they were probably and I have a science paper here that says that it's true. Yeah, science. Everybody knows that.
Whatever.
She started training with the boys' cross-country team at her college because she just wanted to run, and there was no girls' cross-country team. And her coach was like, no, you cannot run a marathon. You're too fragile. So then she's like, watch me. So she went for a training run and did 31 miles. Then turned around and ran the Boston Marathon under her initials, so that way they didn't know. Mm-hmm. Of course, like, race.
She dressed similar to a male, like, clothing-wise, right?
She just wore all gray sweats and then had her hair pulled back. Yep. Okay. And she ran it with two buddies, both of whom were like, oh, if a girl can do it, I can do it. They struggled. But she changed the course of, like, basically women's running history. And, like, open the doors for the women out there who are, like, just crushing these ultra courses, like, 100-mile-plus races. And, like, it all started in 1967. That is not very long ago.
No. It's not very long ago. And to have someone try to dictate who can run and who cannot, like, it goes back to that they think they're superior. Like... Your uterus is going to fall out? Really? That's what you're arguing with this? Like,
I know, it's mind-boggling, but I'm also
there's so many stories that I could say with this, because, like, but we're on air at 9 in the morning that I can't talk about, but, like, if you want that rating, call me, we'll talk over the phone, because, like, I literally am fuming from this, because this is literally that, because I'm just, this is bull crap. Like, think about, okay, so, total segue, you know, back in William Shakespeare time, women were not allowed to be on the theater stage. Right. It was men.
Men played women.
Men played women. Why couldn't women be in the plays? Why can't women do anything a man can't do?
Like, well, historically, I mean, like, that's what it is. But we've been fighting for our place.
Mm-hmm. Which is
since
so
the dawn of time, essentially.
Literally. It's
so idiotic, because here's the thing. Again, it goes back to what we were talking about. Women who are successful and have achieved a higher platform within their company, whatever it may be, they are considered a B. Mm-hmm. Or they slept their way to their top. Yeah. There's always that one too.
Or they're not prioritizing their family.
Right.
Yes, correct. They're not prioritizing kids, things like that. Yeah. You should be at home. You should listen to your husband. Like, all those things. When in reality, it is very well known that women can be very successful and be mothers and be spouses and everything all at the same time.
And, like, I consider
prime example sitting in front of me.
Like, that's, but that's what I was going to say, is, like, I consider myself incredibly, incredibly grateful and lucky, because the men who are in my life surrounding me right now all build me up and have done nothing but support me and encourage me and support. Yeah. Like, that's, I mean, I have business partners and friends and bosses and every level and former bosses, all of whom saw potential, encouraged, understood that, yes, I was a mom, and yes, sometimes things get really crazy and you have to take care of that. But at no point was that, like, ever confused with, this job isn't your priority, or you can't have your family. This job needs to be your priority. I know that exists for a lot of women. I do not have that currently in my life. Yeah. But I always feel like it's because of, you know, people like Catherine Switzer and people like Jasmine Crockett and people like, historically, RBG. You want to go down the list of all these women who have just paved the way for us to be in a place where I can sit with a microphone and not be told to be quiet.
You know, I don't want either one of you to be quiet. I think women should have a voice in
Well, you're one
world.
Of the people I'm talking about.
Oh, well, thank you. Toot.
You and Rich
I actually
and Chuck.
I put the heels on, so I walk right next to you, girl. But, you know, it's interesting to see, because, like, before, like, back in the time, like, women could not be CEOs. Women could not be managers. They were always categorized as receptionist or assistants. Like, they were lesser than. And it's like, no. Like, they are equal, if not sometimes better than the male figures. Actually, majority of the time. Better. Anyways. We can talk about this for a long time, but Catherine, I mean, she did pave the way. Literally, she ran
Be running marathons if she hadn't, like, poached that course. Yeah, the course.
Yeah.
And ran away from the race officials. The photos are really amazing. They're historic. I mean, if you are a runner, you likely have seen them.
Yes, totally. You know, Ash, why don't we go to you with your third pick? Because I think my pick and your second pick, so my third pick and your second pick, Lindsay, are kind of both trailblazers in the same category, so we can talk about those together.
Sure.
So Ashley, why don't you talk about your third pick, because we are coming down to the wire.
Yeah, I'll go quick. Spoiler alert, another musical artist that became really popular.
I love musical artists. Yeah. You've been picking some good ones.
Yeah. So I'm going to talk a little bit about Chapel Roan. So she became really popular recently because of her album.
But she worked hard.
Yes. Yes, she is an independent, or was an independent artist. And, like, blew up overnight. Her music is incredible. So musically diverse. It's beautiful. But I think the main thing I want to say about Chapel Roan is that she's not giving in to this, like, celebrity, BS. Like, she is calling out reporters. She is calling out the music industry on live television, at the Grammys.
She's, like, taking time for her mental health,
too. Yes, yeah. And people hate that.
And she's not being put in a box either. No. Because now she just released her country single.
Yes, The Giver. The Giver. Yeah, and she just does what she wants. Like, being like, the people that like this are going to like it, and the people that don't. And that's not my prerogative. And no. I just, like, I love the non-conformity. I also love that she dresses up in drag for her performance.
She and is a drag queen.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And it's just such a, like, beautiful thing to see, like, this person who's become so popular, like, advocate for this, like, on, like, in front of millions of people at her shows.
And she's demanding respect from the industry.
Yes.
Not only for herself, but for others.
Yes. Yeah. And so, especially the queer community. I mean, she has just been such an amazing figure to, like, be representative of that community too. So in respect for time, I could talk a lot about Chapel Rome, but basically,
if you haven't listened to her, go listen to her.
Yeah, that's what we're saying. Basically, she's amazing, has done incredible things for the music industry and the queer industry.
Very much so. Yeah, very cool. So Lindsay, me and you both picked directors for our third, or for my third, your second. Yeah. Anyways,
we can just do a quick shout out.
We'll do a quick shout out because we got another guest in here. But Nancy Myers and Greta Gerwig, both are directors of amazing movies. Nancy Myers, I love her because she's a Academy Award nominee with her romantic comedies and humorous storylines, such as she did the reboot of The Parent Trap with Lindsay Lohan. It's complicated. Mm-hmm. The Holiday. Love The Holiday. Thank you, Cameron Diaz. As Good as It Gets, The Intern. Amazing. Greta Gerwig.
Greta Gerwig did Barbie.
Hello.
Little Women and Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. And both Barbie and Lady Bird are the two movies in the last 10 years that have made me cry my eyes out because they, again, take on the women's experience. One through the eyes of an adolescent. And show how complicated mother-daughter relationships can be. And both of those movies pass the Bechdel test, where, like, mm-hmm. there are two women on screen having a conversation about anything other than a man.
So
we've talked about a lot of women today, and I just want to say thank you again for having fun with us, because this has been fun. Yeah.
This was super fun.
And happy Women's History Month.
Yay!
Yes, Happy Women's History
Month. Now here's somebody who's man.
I can't help it. I'm sorry. First of all, hi, my name's Rich, and I'm your general manager around here. And I want to say,
boss man.
I want to tell you guys, the three of you, how much I'm enjoying this show. I'm really glad you're doing it. Thank you for putting it together. And I'm looking forward to doing more promoting as soon as I have some resources to do so. Yeah. All right. I got to get on my salespeople about that. Anyway, I'm very pleased to announce that we do have a sponsor of the show so far, the Cannon Valley 10, Cannon Valley Cinema 10 movie theater in Dundas, located at, I don't know, what is the name of that?
Schilling?
Yeah, Schilling Drive. But what is the name of the strip mall in Dundas? Where
the one with Slumberland?
Yeah, it's right next to Slumberland, right? 404 Schilling Drive North in Dundas. 55019. Their email, is www.cabtheaters. I'm going to spell this all out because they spell theaters the British way. cabtheaters.com. They own two theaters. They own one here in Dundas. They own another one in Red Wing. So when you go to the website, you want to make sure you have selected the Dundas movie theater. I'm here to tell you what is opening this week. Ooh. And what will be playing for the next week.
Oh, awesome.
All right. And then I've got a giveaway.
Oh.
Oh, fun.
All right. So, I feel like I've completely surprised you, Mox. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am. I'm like, okay.
I told you I was coming in the last 5 minutes.
Yep, it's Thursday morning. We're good and we're caffeinated.
All right, sounds good. All right. So here's what's opening tomorrow, but they all have showings tonight. Working Man with Jason Statham. So there's your like high-powered or high-energy action flick. That's the showing tonight is at 7:05. Otherwise, it'll be on the screen tomorrow at noon. Woman in the Yard, which looks just terrifying.
Yes. I just saw the trailer.
Absolutely terrifying. Not a movie I'll be going to see in the theaters, but I will watch at some other point in time. I just don't want to.
With the lights on.
I the last time I went to see a movie, a scary movie in the theater, there was a jump scare in there. I actually screamed, and I was so embarrassed. I got up and I walked out of the theater. So I'm not going to see anyway. Woman in the Yard, though, if you do like this stuff, I know Lindsay, you're a big fan of the scary movies. No.
Okay. Lindsay is over here shaking her right. Lancaster.
I can share the mic with you too, by the way.
I can just react.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Woman in the Yard opens tonight, 6:50. Death of a Unicorn.
Okay, I do want to see this one because Jenna Ortega. Come on.
Right, Jenna Ortega. Exactly right. Officially opens tomorrow, but there's a first screening tonight at 6:45, and then they're doing with Easter coming up, they've got a series of three movies that they're going to be showing. This is also going to be available on HBO Max, or just I suppose it's just Max now, right? The Chosen, they're doing a three-part, like a six-hour film about the Last Supper. All right, and the part one is tonight at 7 p.m. Part two will be on the 3rd at 7 p.m. I assume part three will be on April 10th at 7 p.m. Okay. Here's what else is planned this week. The Day the Earth Blew Up. I need to do some more research on some of this stuff because I've never heard of that movie. All right. Another movie called Last Supper, which is not at all confusing for folks.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Right? The Minecraft movie, which they have. I take it back. Yes. Minecraft movie doesn't open until the 3rd. I'm sorry. I read that wrong. Novocaine, which is an offbeat superhero type movie. Paddington in Peru. Ooh. There it is. Yay, we love Paddington. And Snow White. If you want to find out about the movie times, the best place to go is actually their Facebook page, which is Cannon Valley, just Cannon Valley 10 on Cannon Valley Cinema 10 on Facebook. And they have a listing right there of everything. Everything you need to know. So, here we go. I have a pass. I have four passes to go see a movie. So you and three of your favorite people can go see a movie whenever you want. Email me or email the studio here, studio@kymn, and put the password or put the in the subject word, in the subject line, write unicorn. Unicorn is the password this week, right? Put that in the subject line.
Now we're going to have passwords every week.
Yeah. And the first email I get that says unicorn in the subject line gets four passes to the... Can we
get in on this?
I go right to my phone and get the email.
I can talk to you guys later about some of this stuff. Unicorn. studio@kymnradio.net. Perfect. Cannon Valley Cinema 10, one of the sponsors.
Thank you for sponsoring. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. All right. Unicorn. Everyone.
All right. Let's wrap this up. Linz?
Are we saying goodbye now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, our time has come to an end. I know.
Our time is so long. Farewell. Okay. Bye, everybody. It was a pleasure. This is a very wonderful way to spend my every other Thursday. I enjoy it.
Yes. There was one question that we didn't do, and that was what. Did you not want to wait in line for? And I have to say this because I wrote this down like a week ago. I had to wait at a train for 15 minutes. I hate waiting in line, just so you know.
Greenvale Avenue.
Literally that. Thank
we'll
you.
We'll answer that next week.
But I just, again, I saw that question. I was like, I have to share this. So thank you all for tuning in to Spill the Beans, the second and fourth Thursday at 9 a.m. of the month. Ashley, thank you for being here.
Thanks, Max. Thanks, Lindsay.
Bye, friends.
Thank you for the caffeine, and hope your day was caffeinated, and you have a lovely day.
Bye, everyone.
Talk to you soon.
Do you have an old junk or car in the garage or on the farm? Call Huber's Auto Parts and